Hello, Millennium Live listeners. Connor Toohey, happy to be back for another exciting episode in our partnership series here at Millennium Live. And I do have a great partner, a platform that really translates clinical evidence, the guidelines, the pathways, and much more into the workflow at the point of care. And I'm here with one of the co-founders and the CEO of AvoMD. I'm here with Dr. Yair Saperstein. Yair, welcome to the podcast. It's great to have you join us and talk a lot about AvoMD and just a lot of the great work that's being done in the industry.
It's a pleasure to be here with you.
Cool. So just a little bit about yourself. You've got so much great work in terms of your career and just founding the company back in 2020. But, you know, a dual board certified physician in internal medicine and clinical informatics, served on the implementation team for multiple Epic Go Lives and was the inpatient medicine chief resident at HHC's Kings County Hospital, leading over 400 providers through New York's first wave of COVID and fewer in New York during the early stages of 2020. And during COVID, you, like me, you know how crazy it was. So thanks for all your efforts. And you just an amazing person to have joined this podcast. And just to kind of kick things off about AVO, I would love to hear the origin story because it was formed at such a critical and crazy time in healthcare. So, I'd love to. I think that's a great way to start.
So the story actually starts when I was in residency, and I really wanted to have at my fingertips what I needed to do. It was very simple. I just wanted the society guidelines in the palm of my hands immediately for when I needed it. And on the other side, I really wanted to have draft notes that could be present for me just to make my tasks that I needed to do faster. And, you know, for the former, I took index cards and I wrote out pathways for just to be able to have them easily. Here's what I do for a patient with COPD. Here's what I do for a patient with heart failure. And little footnotes for myself, because as I rotated across different health systems as part of residency, every place does it a little bit different. So I had these little footnotes that would notate for me where I needed to do it different. And I took pictures of them so that I would have it accessible for me in Google Photos. And then on the notes side, I had that in Google Drives. So that I had my own little draft notes for each of the different clinical conditions. And this worked well. It was something that I could share easily. Think of it as almost like a low-code, shareable clinical decision support platform. Of course, it wasn't that. It was mostly an idea that I had kind of hacked together. And I was rotating in the clinical informatics department within Columbia, and I met my co-founder, PJ. And PJ was telling me about the stuff that he was building for about 5 years before I met him, which was this, but as a technology. And so we started working together. I was basically putting my guidelines that I had drafted together from the societies into his backend that would turn it, at the time, into just a mobile app. And, you know, as we started working together, we were really taking that mobile app. We put it on the App Store. We ended up getting about 40,000 downloads. You know, it was like, oh, wow, people like this. And we started then going to health systems. And through this process, people were emailing me like, hey, you got to change this. You got to change that. So we ended up building a builder, a creator tool in the back end, a platform that would allow for the individual health systems to be able to customize on their own for these different decision support algorithms that were in the app. You know, we also got other feedback, which was, hey, you know, we really need it to be inside of Epic. We need it to be inside of Athena. We want it to be in our EHR. So we also spent the next couple of years really getting it into the different EHRs, not just as an interface, but truly integrated so that it feels for the user as if it's part of the EHR. And you know, that's really how it started. It was a way for us as individual clinicians and then as health systems to be able to function better in a way of get me what I need at the point of care. But as it started to progress a little bit more, it was, wait a second, how about the second part, efficiency? How do you make me better in a way, like, how do you help me with my tasks as a clinician? And so that last aspect was really made a lot better with large language models, because it allowed us to now dynamically create notes in a way that's HIPAA secure. It allowed us to link to orders in the electronic health record. It allowed us to do things that are like, take the patient information and create a synopsis for me in the form of what I need. So tell me the things that are important about diabetes or about heart failure, right? The things that are important, and allow me to take actions from there. So if you identify something, then, you know, help me review it, but allow me to do the next steps. All of these things were things that came out from this original story of, okay, us as residents, and how can we help ourselves to do the things that we need to do as clinicians?
Well, that's awesome. That's awesome, Yair. And, you know, because you've had so much success with the app, and now of, you know, the expansion of AVO-MD, you know, given that there are so many tools out there, you know, you mentioned a couple of key words there, like efficiency and actionability. But, you know, being the co-founder, you would know best of how AVO stands out from the crowd and how it differs from those traditional clinical decision support tools.
Yeah, it is different. You know, your classic clinical decision support tool doesn't think of the end user. It doesn't think of the clinicians. And so it's in contrast to the efficiency tools. It's like, you're either going to be putting in a tool that's going to be pinging me with tons of alerts that I'm likely to ignore. That's your classic clinical decision support. Or you're going to focus on efficiency, and you're going to give me like an ambient listening software that entirely ignores the guidelines and ignores what's in the EHR. And these two things don't work together. Whereas for AVO, the two do work together. So we allow for really a clinician support platform that includes clinical decision elements, meaning help me to make my decisions, but in a way that makes me faster, in a way that I appreciate as a clinician. The second aspect that's different is, you know, not only do we focus on getting love from clinicians instead of bugging clinicians with alerts, but we focus also on getting love from the IT team. You know, it's I've never really had this reaction before from IT, but they say, look, if we're able to solve all of these different problems with a minimal amount of work from our side, we appreciate that. Because previously, you know, there's a lot of IT resources that are needed to put in, let's say, a decision support platform for asthma, and another one for heart failure, and another one for COPD, and another one for chronic kidney disease. For us, we're a vertical and horizontal system. So you're able to do an install. And then because of our builder, the clinical team is able to control whatever they need for each of the different aspects of the disease states, heart failure, COPD, et cetera, without asking the IT team to do it. So the IT team's happy and the clinicians are happy within our system.
That's great. That's great. That's always great news when the IT team is happy. So in terms of adoption of this technology, you know, what is the process that health systems have to go through to integrate with AVO and kind of use their content and make updates to the platform?
So there's a couple different aspects to pick apart there, right? The first is from the IT side. So we'll take Epic as an example. We're in the Epic showroom, formerly Orchard. So you're able to download us as an app. We guarantee less than 30 hours of analyst time that's needed to actually install the software. And then, you know, for like deeper configurations and linking out to orders, that can take a little bit more time. But for the basic install and to be able to automatically ingest the patient data, produce notes, process it, all of that is guaranteed less than 30. And then to actually take content. So we have off-the-shelf content that's available from our society partners. We have about 25 partners ranging from KDIGO to other societies that we work with, AAFP, AHA, et cetera. So you can take their content, you can modify their content on the platform. And so you're able to use our drag and drop builder to actually change it to the way that you want. So just one example to kind of make it real, large IDN in Texas, in particular, had a heart failure case, and they wanted to be able to figure out how can they really improve heart failure care. You know, they had created their own content over 6 months. They weren't sure how to deploy it in Epic. They wanted three separate builds, inpatient, outpatient, and ED, challenging to track usage, not scalable. And then they used us. IT team's able to install it less than 30 hours. Suddenly, they're able to pull in our off-the-shelf AHA guideline for heart failure. They're able to edit it with their own tweaks, right? Because every system does it a little bit differently. It's workflow agnostic, so they're able to set it up for inpatient, outpatient, and ED just from the clinical side. Very flexible setup and maintenance in the AVO builder. And then they're getting now granular analytics on it and, you know, starting with heart failure, but then replicating for asthma, COPD in the same way with the clinical team able to control that.
Yeah. And speaking in terms of adoption of this technology, there's a lot of things to consider. Like, you know, you have clinician burnout and staff that's overworked, and you have tools and technology that's great and available, but sometimes whether that adoption is implemented into the organization, that's a whole nother question. So just to start out, before we really dive in, what are some of the common use cases where an organization or a health system would implement AVO MD?
Yeah, so, you know, health systems are really interested in improving the bottom line and are often thinking disease state specific. Help me with heart failure, asthma, COPD, CKD, et cetera, right? So I want to highlight three of the most common use cases across these disease states and then how it's actually implemented. So the first is empowering clinicians to get the information that they need faster. Think like chart synopsis, but in particular, able to get a synopsis for disease states. And then able to take actions from there. For example, I've got a patient that I'm seeing who's got primary complaints of diabetes, hypertension, heart failure. So bring out for me their latest HbA1c, you know, their hemoglobin A1c, the medications that they're on, whether they had a retinal exam, whether they had a diabetes foot exam, when it was. So give me the important info that's extracted from the charts, compare it against the ADA guidelines, and then tell me, hey, you're missing this thing, you're missing that, and allow me to take actions on it. Allow me to put in orders, et cetera. That's one. The second is very simple, referencing guidelines, calculators. It's pathways as most people think about them and the ability to access these pathways easily. The third is in flow, like in the actual visit, being able to actually guide through with or without ambient listening, the ability to take a conversation and inject from it the other information within the EHR to produce a note that is in accord with the info in the EHR, my patient visit itself, and the guidelines. The third is specific cases where you are crafting notes for specific times. For example, an admission H&P or discharge summary or a downgrade note from ICU to the floors, whether inpatient or outpatient. And, you know, I listed a bunch of inpatient, outpatient, think of SOAP note creation, referral, when you need to actually do referrals and being able to put in those referrals and the text that needs to be generated with it. So these specific document creations is a third. And then fourth is, this has become much more popular in the value-based care side, we're able to do HCC coding. So we're able to actually generate for, you know, hierarchical coding documentation based on the patient information within the charts, where of course you can add in as well to create a draft for HCC documentation that's needed, the hierarchical coding. So those are the specific use cases that are most used and most common. I'll just make one comment on that, which is because we have this builder, we have systems that are doing other use cases besides for here to solve their own needs. But I always say, like, find the thing which is the biggest problem and then solve that. And from there, you're able to grow within the horizontal solution.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Kind of a follow-up to that is there any way to track how AVO is being used across the organization, if it's being used heavily in documentation, or is it, how can you track the way this a tool like this is being used?
Yeah, we have an analytics platform that's deeply embedded into the different components of the software so that you're able to tell, even down to the level of the individual clinician, you know, how it's being used, how often, which pathways are being used. So you can do things like, you know, one example, you want to improve adherence to antibiotics for URIs. So you had one system that was tracking that, and you're able to see your outcome results already, but you don't know, well, how does that tie into usage of the guidelines? Well, that question is answered by AVO's analytics. So you're able to tell, is this clinician actually using these guidelines for URI pathway? And if they are not, and they're giving inappropriate antibiotics, well, you mandate it for them, then they have to use it. So you're able to really make this correlation between the two by AVO's analytics.
So what have you found most helpful in terms of adoption, of getting providers to actually implement new technology, you know, like AVO and these tools into their workflow? I'm sure it's not the easiest sometimes, but what have you found most helpful? Because there's, you know, you can argue that healthcare could sometimes be very slow, depending on the system, implementing technologies. So what have you found most helpful, Yair?
Yeah. So two of the three co-founders are physicians. Most of the team is clinicians.
That helps.
And so we come from a place of like, give me something that's valuable and do it in a way that's actual change management with champions where you understand the workflow, right? And when you do it that way, then it's, clinical informatics literature has shown that is the way to do it effectively. And we have a whole really playbook of how we do it, you know, number one is assessment of the scope and understanding, okay, well, here's what we want to achieve. Number two is assessment of the workflow, like understand in each of the places that it's launching, how it works, setting up a champion to ensure that there's feedback and really involving the champion and, you know, whoever should be involved from a governance perspective in the construction of these decision support elements. And the informatics literature shows so long as you're fitting deeply into the workflow and you involve the organization users, right? So as long as the champions are involved, as long as there is the ability to map it to the workflow, then it will be successful. And so our change management process employs these elements of, you know, the lessons that we've learned from doing this for years over informatics of how to do it successfully and the pitfalls to avoid, which really helps with adoption.
Well, that's all great. And I kind of want to talk about, you know, the great work that is being done at AVO and the type of technology that makes it stand out. You know, I would love to hear some, as I'm sure our audience would, you know, some of the great use case studies and success stories that organizations have had because implementing AVO. You know, what are the results that you've seen and some examples that you can share that have driven results for health systems that you're particularly working with?
Yeah, so let me highlight a couple systems and then I'll highlight some of the broader results that we've got from our various implementations. In one of the VA systems, we implemented really at first a chest pain protocol within the ED. And we were able, they process it and gave us back the data that they found $4,600 saved per patient by improving ED flow and triaging. When we implemented at Englewood Health, their goal was really to be able to reduce referrals out of the department to allow for the department to handle these cases. And they were able to show a 73% reduction in referrals for one workflow in one department. But it's not just that, right? So we've done across both a simulated randomized control trial and implementations to show that we can improve diagnostic accuracy by 20%. We can improve admission delays in the ED by 36%. And of course, all these are where you're deploying a pathway in AVO instead of deploying it natively inside of the EHR. Think like 60 minutes to build and deploy in AVO versus 9 months to try to do it inside of, let's say, Epic. And then the two that are most important to me are like, you know, I'm a doc. Give me efficiency and give me something that I'll appreciate using. And so we're able to do that. 50% of average time saved at the point of care across our implementations, plus this non-blinded simulated RCT. And then we showed 97% of users wanted more of AVOMD. And the reason that that's important to me is it's if you give docs something that they'll like, if you give clinicians something that they're like, then you're able to rise above any of the difficulties. And it's like, you know, your question before about adoption is there will always be some difficulties in adoption, right? There's always ups and downs. But if you're able to have software that people appreciate using, they will say, that's okay. Like, well, we can spend the extra week or two to be able to get it right. Here's what we want changed. Here's what we want different because we do it this way. And we're able to make that adjustment because we have such a high satisfaction score.
Well, Yair, I mean, this has been a great chat, and I have just one more question where we like to end the podcast on a nice note, a piece of advice or you know, piece of wisdom or getting excited about the future and what that holds. But you know, I'm kind of curious about Avo and where you've seen the most growth in terms of the last year, a couple years. And what your team is focused on for the next, you know, as we navigate through 2024 and beyond.
Yeah, we've seen a lot of health systems really start to prioritize efficiency, especially with AI tools. And the most growth have come from these health systems that are focused on doing it in a way that is safe, that's smart, that controls costs by doing it in a way that's fixed. And, you know, a lot of health systems are using us really for that aspect, to be able to implement AI in a way that is safe, cost-effective, and really ties in both efficiency with clinical decision support. And, you know, our focus really going forward is to allow for these health systems to continue to grow, to support their clinicians, and to allow for other health systems to see the same value that these health systems have already seen, and to be able to contribute to their positive growth as well.
Thank you so much for the time, Yair. This was a great chat, and thanks for sharing a lot more about AVO-MD and just the amazing work that's being done, and how, you know, just the tool itself and the integrating into a health system is so critical, especially with so much technology that goes across clinicians' desks, and you're one of them. You want to make sure it's as easy and time-saving as possible. So this is great technology, man.
I've started imagining, like, imagine that you can have almost like the best intern that you've ever had, who's like sitting at the nexus of where you are, so able to understand and take in all of the data from the patient, both from the EHR and beyond the EHR. So, right, we're able to take from results tab and care everywhere and from the HIE beyond, and take all of that information, process it, and put out whatever I need to do, notes, orders, like, and be customizable so that it works in accord with what the health system actually needs to do. That's what AVO is, right? It's really this technology that is there, that's present, that's able to do this in a way that that supports clinicians as opposed to annoying clinicians. So it's really something that I'm passionate about, and appreciate the time, Connor, to be able to do this podcast with you.
Dr. Yair Saperstein, thank you so much, and thank you to AVO-MD, who is transforming and optimizing the latest clinical evidence for point-of-care usage and adoption. We'll see you guys soon.